WTR Volt.
Hello, Tom. N4DJC. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, I was concentrating on Jerry. There must be an accident down here on 101. I thought I heard the sirens going out there a while ago. So I just made a big U-turn, and I'm going to head over to Highway 14.
Today is not a great day to be out on the road. I know it was real foggy here this morning.
Hey, let me turn this radio down in here, Jerry. Background noise. Yeah, I was going down to pick up some chicken, but I allowed enough time that I can still just about get there when I was supposed to. Bernice didn't want to cook today, and we got the grandson over, and he's going to stay with us a couple of days and enjoy that. He's playing a virtual reality machine right now.
Goodness. That sounds complicated. A little above my level, I think.
Well, they put on these goggles, and they got these two things in their hands, and he's sitting there swinging his hands around like he's got the epizooties. So, you're virtually in the game, I guess. And it's pretty amazing.
My 8-year-old grandson is into that. He didn't have anything quite that complex yet, but that's one of the things he asked about next, virtual reality goggles and that sort of thing. They love those games, and they are intensive. But it looks like it'll be a lot of fun, I guess. I'm not sure what I'd probably enjoy it if I used them.
The amount of computing power they must have. In the game itself, I think Scott said it was about a couple hundred dollars or so. And there are free games and games you can purchase, of course. It comes through Facebook. And I don't do Facebook, and I don't do that Zoom thing. I consider them a security risk, but I'm probably overly cautious in that respect. But that Xbox thing they got is wild enough. I'm telling you, that's almost like being in the game. The good thing is that he can play online and be with his friends. And during this quarantine period, I'm sure it means a lot.
That's the way my grandson is. He has several of his friends that are online. He's got an Xbox. Yeah, I think it's an Xbox. He's also got a Nintendo Switch, and they have a large screen TV in their little playroom there. And my granddaughter's she's 11. Yeah, I guess she's 11, 10 or 11. Anyway, she enjoys some of it too, but he enjoys it more than I do. I'd like to be able to do that sort of thing like Dave does, W4DJW does with the drones, so you'd be able to see where you're going, that sort of thing. It looks like that, but that would be fun to me.
Speaking person, that's for sure. Yeah, and that's getting commonplace anymore. And Dave was right out there at the beginning edge of it. But, the man does software architecture, so he ain't no dummy.
Not too far above me. I have a brother-in-law that does that sort of thing, and I'm sure he talks down about 4 or 5 levels, so I can understand and be polite about that, and makes it a little easier to understand. He and his wife are both hams, and I don't think he's been active lately. He used to be pretty active. I think he's been busy with this quarantine thing going on. He does work for the DOD and other people too. But he's one of those guys that's he can talk above your head about half a second, but he doesn't usually do it. And Dave's the same way. But that you know, amount of knowledge some of these guys can hold is just unbelievable to me. I don't think I have enough brain cells left to do that sort of thing now.
Back in the old days, I don't like programming. It just never did interest me, but I wished it had. I'd like to know these new languages rather than the old ones like we were subjected to. I had a little bit of it in an electronic engineering course that I took for 4 years, but it was COBOL and Fortran and stuff like that, and I just barely brushed it enough to get through it. But it's just, you know, some people have it and some people don't, and I'm just not an engineer. I'm not at that level. Don't claim to be. But I did electrical electronics, and I'm happy with what I did in my lifetime, considering I goofed off in high school and then got my schooling later, really. It made it more difficult, I'll say that. Well, there's not too much traffic out here today. I asked them down there at Publix if they were really busy, and they said pretty busy. I guess people still getting ready for New Year's. We don't do anything special for New Year's. I might look at the HF after a while. I haven't seen a great deal on there yet.
Well, we usually have a lunch. You know, just some ham and black-eyed peas and collards and that sort of thing, cornbread. Just kind of a traditional Southern, semi-traditional Southern type of thing. My wife's always done that, and she enjoys doing it. It's just the three of us now, so we don't have to fix a lot of food. And my daughter is married to a guy from Pennsylvania, so they don't, you know, their idea, you know, his idea of traditional New Year's is a lot different than ours is. But, now I tell you, I didn't get interested in electronics until I was in the workforce for a number of years, probably about 79 or so, when I got interested in shortwave, and then I just kind of built up a little bit from there. The last program that I did was in BASIC, and that's been a long time ago.
I remember they were trying to figure out what we'd be good for, and they give us a test on Morse code, and I just basically guessed at it. I'd never touched on it before in my life, so you know how good I did on that. But they all sit us down in the classroom and played Morse code and seen how much of that we could copy. I wished I had them. We had a key on the P3s for CW, and we had radial teletype, but that was, you know, I'd go up and sit in the forward observer's seat now and then and look out the window if I wasn't busy back in the back, and that was as close as I come to it. But code was hard for me. I thought I could never do it, and no, I really enjoy it. I've looked the last couple of nights, and oh, the most common place is Eastern Europe. It's on. But I've worked them a million times. I like working the Russians now and then, just for the fun of it. Heard a few of them on lately, but hoping for the sunspots to keep coming up. They're doing better.
Up a little bit. I followed that. I hadn't been on HF in many years, but I had to tell you, my thing was code. It was code when I was in the Boy Scouts, and you know, they were doing the, they just didn't teach it, you know, the way they did. You know, when I tell you what really broke me into code was when the ARRL had a series of Morse code tapes. We could do like 5 words per minute, 7.5, and then 10, and then 13. But the characters were sent at 13 words per minute, even though they were sent at spacing for 5. And so that really helped me. I got the code pretty quick, and then I passed my 13 words per minute, and then got my... I got my general, but I never did get the advanced license, but I did get the extra code certification, but I never did take the advanced and extra written, which is a lot different than it is now. I'm sure this has been 40 years ago, but I enjoyed it. I like code. That was really my preferred. When I was on HF, that was my preferred method of communication.
They are. Yeah, I'm up here on Wade Hampton in front of McDonald's headed down towards Taylor's. And there's quite a bit of traffic. Well, when I first tried to learn it out of my old CB days was in the early 70s, and all I had was a 33 and a third RPM Radio Shack record, which I still have, and in a straight key. And the straight key, to me, is the hardest way to learn. Years later, I was exposed to a friend of mine who had stepped on a landmine in Vietnam and was blind, and he had his extra, and I thought, well, by golly, if Eldon can do it, I can do it. And so I got some tapes, and they were sent at whatever rate you want to learn at. I took the Tech Plus at 5, and then later I took the General at 13, and then I took the Extra at 20. But I passed each written test before I do the code, and they were sent at 18 words a minute, but the spacing might be 5, 10, 15 words a minute, whatever you were working at. Farnsworth, I think, is what they called it. And I learned from the best tapes I ever got was the Jerry Zuliak tapes, and I liked them better than the ARRL, but that's how I learned mine, too, Jerry.
Actually working at night, then I was working a split shift. I was a training manager for a textile company, and I went in at 8 in the evening, got off at 4 in the morning, and had a good bit of spare time between the second and third shifts. Then when I take a break, I'd go back to my office and listen to those tapes. And once you get that character, when you hear that character 13 words per minute, you recognize it. Of course, when it goes up above 30, that's where it kind of loses me. I can't follow it. My mind won't follow it that fast now because I haven't been doing it. But once I got that character, heard that character, sent it 13 words per minute, when I got my... I took my code test, I just breezed through it at 13. One of my friends, they'd been a BAM. He'd been a novice back when they used to give you the WN or KN calls. He had a WN call, and he upgraded to technician, and he changed it to a WP4 call. He had a terrible time with code, and he just struggled. And I gave him those tapes. He and I worked together. I gave him those tapes, and he said, that's the easiest I've ever seen. And then within 6 months, he passed the general code. He was thrilled to death. He'd been a ham a long time without having any general class privileges.
Well, I was a VE, and I have never heard some of the most absurd excuses in my life that I got for guys wanting me to pass them. With a medical or something, and not have to do the code. One guy even told me he couldn't do it because he had heart trouble. He's a friend of my dad's, too, so I hated to tell him no, but you just couldn't break the rules. But I went over to Parsons, Kansas, and... what was that guy's call sign? He was a W0, Mort, and he gave me the general written test, and that's all I planned on taking that day. Or no, I took the Tech Plus test, that's what it was, and it was just 5 words a minute. So he says, Tom, he says, you work with electricity every day, why don't you go ahead and take the general's, just $6 more. And I said, well, I just bought the book, and I haven't even cracked it open yet. And Mort said, oh, yeah, but you got enough knowledge. You can, well, I got news for you. RF's a whole lot different than a machine shop and industrial electricity. And so he talked me into it. And I didn't have a lot of money back then, I'll tell you. And $6 was a lot, and I only had $12 in my wallet. So I took it, and I missed it by one. Well, of course, it's like gambling. And he said, oh, man, take it again, Tom, and it'll be a different test, but you'll pass it. And I'm glad I didn't. I missed it by one. So I quit then because I didn't have any more money. And I went home and studied it, and I went back, and, of course, I took it. And he says, well, you ought to take the 13-word-a-minute code test. And I said, well, I haven't, I'm not near that good yet. And so I went ahead and took it because I passed the written. And, of course, I flunked that. And then I went back a month later, and I passed that one.
A novice, and I guess it probably been, it must have been February or so, 79, I took the general written at the FCC office in Atlanta. They didn't have much in the way of testing outside, maybe a ham fest every once in a while. The VEC program wasn't even... I don't think it even got started by that time, but I don't recall. But I took the FCC exam at the written in Atlanta, and then I took the code at Greenville Tech. And I was probably about 6 months. I got my technician and got this call sign, and then I went back to get my general. I think in May or June of '79, and to take my 13-word-a-minute code, and I passed it. But I remember the general, when I took the technician at the FCC office, I had to draw some circuit diagrams on paper that would let you take your calculator in, because that was when the HP had their HP 65, one of them that was programmable. They didn't want you to take a calculator in. You just had to have a pencil and piece of paper. And but I remember having to draw a diagram to a circuit or something, that's something that, I don't guess they have that on the test these days. But I did learn a little more about radio stuff than I thought I would, and I've enjoyed it all these years as well. And some stuff I learned has kept me from electrocuting myself.
Well, that's a positive aspect for sure. I rebuilt a Drake L4B here a couple of years ago, and I learned a lot just from doing that. And the guy I got it from, he says, Tom, you take the lid off of that and turn it on, it'll destroy itself. It has a micro switch on it. And he says, if you bypass that switch, there's a lot of dead inside of that box.
That's pretty good. I tell you, the big deal now dealing with old radios is being able to find those capacitors to replace, because those things are, even radios from 30 years ago or so, they work fine if you can replace the capacitors. And if you got that kind of knowledge, it's just time consuming to find the right ones.
What's called Harbach Electronics, H-A-R-B-A-C-H. And they have stuff for all the older amplifiers. And so I replaced the whole power supply with a solid-state power supply that they had the circuit board. All the capacitors in it were blown. I don't remember what it cost, a little over $100. And all the new bleeder resistors. And they're special, and they just had everything. And I put a solid state relay in there to bypass the front switches, because they're hard to find. And after I did that, well, there was only a few milliamps went through them, and just went through the whole thing. I had to buy new tubes, and that was $400 for two of those 3500Zs, but. I got a solid state one, and I let this gentleman have it for $100 less than what I had in it, and plus all of my time, of course. And he's been really happy with it. It'll put out 1,500 watts.
I'm going to say that's 3,500 Z's. Those things, they don't give those things away. And that was a big deal when I got started with these Alpha 77 DXs. I think they put out about 2,500 feet, but those things were, gosh, they were like buying a car back in those days. They were. I never ran more than 100 watts as a rule. I didn't have an amp. But the guys that did that, man, I tell you one thing, you can turn it local. Sometimes you're the best. That's what it took to open up a spot on the band.
Roger. Yeah, I never had an amp for 19 years. And it was different for me. Jerry, I've got in the parking lot here, so I got to shut up because the parking lots are dangerous, and maybe I'll catch you on the road home. 73's, enjoy it. It's N0TR.
See you, Tom. Be careful, man. N0TR, N4DJC, clear.